Well, I want to start out today with a little exercise. I would like you to think of some people in your life that have planted seeds for you. Seeds that have taken hold and blossomed and reaped a harvest. Maybe it's a parent, a grandparent, maybe it's a teacher or a coach or a pastor or a friend or someone that you've worked with that has taken the time to mentor you. I want you to think about that. Some of these folks might be far in your past, maybe no longer alive. Some of them may be people that you're in contact with every day, or some that you've not spoken to for years. Who are these special folks in your lives? Who are these people who have planted seeds? Who are those people that are so special to you? I want you to think about that. Now I'm going to take a guess here, but my guess is that each of these people invested in you in some way. They spent time. They listened to you. Each of these people probably took a part of themselves and shared themselves with you. Or in other words, my guess is that each of these people planted seeds in your life, probably some of them many seeds, that over the years have sprouted and grown and produced fruits that you now enjoy. And when you really think about it, planting seeds is one of the main functions of being a parent. Being a mother, a father, being a grandparent, is taking the values that you have, the things that you've learned, the experiences of your life, and passing them on and planting them in the lives of children. Now, most parents know that there's a lot of work that goes into raising a child, and it may at times seem like the seeds that we're planting fall on non-receptive soil. Any of you, yeah? But we plant them anyway, because someday, maybe someday in the future, those seeds that we plant might take root and produce great fruits. So we sow seeds with no guarantees of when or where or if those seeds will ever produce fruit. We still sow seeds. In the 22nd chapter of the Old Testament book of Proverbs, there's this well-known verse often quoted that says, "Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he, she is old, he will not depart from it." And one of the most powerful ways that we train up children is by planting seeds in their lives. Seeds of encouragement, and seeds of knowledge, and seeds of faith, and seeds of love that may not show up for many years to come, but seeds that we plant that may sprout and grow in ways we cannot predict. In our scripture reading for today, Jesus is using seeds as an illustration to paint a picture of what the kingdom of God is like, helping us to understand the ways of God. Jesus, in this passage, explains that while we can scatter seeds, the seed's success does not depend upon our efforts. In spite of an assurance of a harvest, there is this period of time where the seed sprouts and grows not through our own efforts, but that all by itself the soil produces grain. We plant the seeds, but the seeds grow without our assistance. As Jesus points this out, I don't think Jesus is encouraging us to be lazy or not to care, but to say that while we plant the seeds, it's God's work to produce the harvest. Jesus' parable cautions us from taking too much credit for what happens with the seeds that we plant. We do not make the seeds grow. We don't know if or how or when they will grow, even in our own lives. We can't control the seed's development. Our role is to plant seeds and trust that God is at work. Planting is our role. How and when that seed sprouts is God's. And I think this parable allows us to stop concentrating on what we need to accomplish and to reflect on what God is accomplishing. Encourage us to be liberal with the seeds that we sow and to trust that God is at work with what happens to the seeds once we plant them. And this parable encourages us to have a patient faith that God will work somehow through the seeds that we sow in God's times and in God's ways. So Jesus says, plant seeds. Plant lots of seeds. And trust that God will use those seeds in ways that we can't predict or engineer. When I think back of what I'm most thankful for in my years as being a pastor, without a doubt, it has been watching the lives of our young people. And as I've had privilege to work with them and to see what they become. There are many times it's not been easy. Staying up all night at youth lock-ins, playing floor hockey, bruising your shins, and all sorts of wild things happen. From taking a group on a mission trip and out somewhere out in the middle of Kansas about 1 o'clock in the morning, the bus breaks down and we're all standing there. But it's in the midst of those times that God is busy planting seeds through our connections. And being there when kids got in trouble, like when parents get a divorce. I bailed a few kids out of jail. I've been with them if they broke difficult news to their parents, like I'm pregnant or I have a problem with drugs. Teaching the great truths of Scripture when many times I thought they weren't listening and didn't care. Just keep planting the seeds, trusting that God will use them, and then watching how God did use those seeds and what has happened in their lives is been an incredible blessing. When we baptize children here at the church, one of the things that we always try to say is that parenting is by far the most important thing God ever calls us to do. And I believe sowing seeds in the lives of our children is one of the most important roles that we play as parents. Seeds often come in the form of spending time in establishing and passing on traditions, so important, storytelling, just being there, being present is so important. These experiences that we provide live on even after we're gone. And oftentimes will be passed on to another generation and another generation. Seeds have incredible power. A few years ago, our facility director, Mick Thorpe, told me about a tradition that he established with his middle daughter, Jessie. When Jessie was 5 years old, Mick took her on an errand to the farm store over off Bridge Street. And while they were there, he noticed just how fascinated Jessie was by the trains that passed by on the tracks right behind the store there. So they just stood there and they watched the trains go by. And then Mick said, you know, I know of a place where there's this walking bridge that goes over the train tracks, and we could go there and just sit and watch the trains pass below us. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, one of the traditions Mick has established with his three daughters is that on their birthday, they can tell him what they'd like to do, and he does his best to honor that. So when Jessie turned 6, and he asked her what she wanted to do, she remembered about that train bridge. That's where she wanted to go. That's what she wanted to do. So Jessie and her dad, early evening, walk out to the middle of the bridge, and they sat there, watching the trains go on underneath them till like 1 o'clock in the morning. And they've done that every year since. And this August, she'll turn 13. And guess where she wants to go on her birthday? Not Chuck E. Cheese or Darien Lake, but to the bridge over the train tracks. Spending time with her dad, listening, talking, joking around, telling stories, passing on traditions. That's where seeds get planted. But it's God that grows those seeds. You know, over the past few years, I've observed as the roles of fathers in our society have changed, and I think they've changed for the good. In my father's generation, men were expected to be the providers and oftentimes the disciplinarian, with mothers being the caregivers and the nurturers. It was a father's job to put food on the table and to set and inform the rules. And the softer stuff, the nurturing stuff, was the role of mothers. Thankfully, that's changed, and men have been freed up to be more involved in the lives of their children. It's a wonderful thing, because men and women tend to parent differently. But children need both those role models of mothers and fathers who invest and sow seeds in the lives of their children. This weekend is kind of a special Father's Day for me. Over the last 8 years, I've not been able to spend time with my daughter, Laura, on Father's Day, because she's been in Wisconsin and Hawaii and Seattle and all over the place. But today she's here in town and here in the service. And after the 11 o'clock service, she'll be going with Kathleen and I to serve down at the Samaritan Center to feed the hungry. And this is special to me for a unique reason, because it's a continuation of what we did together. She was growing up. When Laura was growing up, our church was part of a program called the South Oakland Shelter. And 1 week out of every year, we would house 120 homeless people. And we would fix dinner and breakfast, and we would pack lunches, and we would wash clothes. And as a little kid, Laura would ride down with me as I drove the big blue school bus to downtown Detroit, and we would pick up people at the warming center. And she got to know some of the people as we rode on the bus, and there were not only men, but men and women and families and children that were homeless that would ride that bus. And she would set up the table and clean up after dinner and play board games with some of our guests. And then about 9 o'clock at night, she'd crawl into her sleeping bag on a couch in my office. Next day, we would eat breakfast, and as we dropped our guest off, I would drop her off at school. Many of the homeless people had jobs during the day, and the church that ran the warming center helped them to bank their earnings so eventually they could get back on their feet in their home. It was an incredible program. And I'm not sure of all the ways that God used these seeds in her life, but my guess is that God has used them to teach her about the importance of serving other people, not about stereotyping people, but understanding that every single human being has worth and value as a child of God, and that God loves all people, and so should we. I hope those were seeds that were planted. And I think they were. Now, I think parents have more opportunities to sow seeds than anybody else. And the seeds that we plant live on in the lives of our children and grow and bloom and produce wonderful harvest over time. But honestly, I think God calls all of us to be planters of seeds. But the question is, what kind of seeds are we going to plant? Sometimes I listen to people whose parents planted within them seeds of despair and discouragement, and it breaks my heart. Sometimes I listen to people who tell stories of parents who are overly critical, sometimes abusive, and many times absent. And the pain and the carnage that has caused in their lives is tragic. In college, I studied a branch of psychology called transactional analysis. It was big back in the 70s. And in that discipline, there's this idea of tapes that children take in and record whatever is said to them, and that those tapes play a huge role in forming their self-image. They play over and over and over again in their minds. And when children are raised in an environment where they record a lot of negative stuff, It takes a toll on them. And it takes a lot of work to wipe out those negative tapes and replace them with positive, self-affirming tapes. And I think it was out of that discipline that they discovered that it takes 11 positive comments to overcome one negative. So think about that as you relate to your children. 11 to 1. So think before you speak. What kind of seeds do you want to plant? And last thing, sometimes I'm kind of taken back by this, by parents who are reluctant to plant the seeds of faith in the lives of their children. And their reasoning is they don't want to influence their children in the ways of religion. Really? They want them to figure things out on their own. I think that's a huge mistake. Children need their parents' guidance, especially early on in all areas like education and socialization. Kids need to learn to brush their teeth and not to eat candy all day. There are many things that children need guidance on, but there is none more important than faith that has the ability to guide their lives and serve as a moral compass. Kids need to learn not only the great stories and truths of the Christian faith, but to be exposed to the life-changing power of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And parents, that's hard to do if it's not fully formed in you. You can't pass on what you don't have. The most important thing you can sow in the lives of your children is an abiding faith. But you need to have that faith in order to pass it on. Sometimes I get a little frustrated by parents who make sure their kids are always on time for hockey practice and lacrosse practice and skiing and band and soccer and drama and horseback riding and skating in the chess club. But showing up to Sunday school or youth group now and then, that's okay. Let me just say this. You have a wonderful opportunity to sow seeds that will produce an amazing harvest throughout their lives when you find ways to sow the seeds of faith. And as a community, as a congregation, it's a major part of our mission to help parents and families sow the seeds of faith. It's our role as a community of faith to be a greenhouse for children and families where the seeds of faith are planted and nurtured so that God may produce an incredible harvest. That's who we are. It's our mission, to plant seeds. I'm going to close with this quote. I love this quote. It's from Robert Schuller. He says, anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. Think about that. You never know how God will use and multiply the seeds we sow. But we do know this. Our role is to plant and to sow good seed, and then to watch how God brings those seeds to harvest. Let's pray. Lord God, as fathers and mothers, as people of faith, give us the faith to keep sowing seeds, good seeds, positive seeds, seeds that you will bless. We trust in you to take these seeds and to grow them into a fruitful harvest in the lives of others and even in our own. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.